Chapter 22. The front way round by the gate. There is no other that I have noticed. Elizabeth Jane had been thinking of the door in the alley. Perhaps, as you have not mentioned your destination, you may as well keep silent upon it till you are clear off. Who knows but that he may alter his mind? Elizabeth Jane shook her head. In consideration, I don't fear it, she said sadly. He has grown quite cold to me. Very well. 6 o'clock then. When they had emerged upon the open road and parted, they found enough to do in holding their bowed umbrellas to the wind. Nevertheless, the lady looked in at the cornyard gates as she passed them, and paused on one foot for a moment. But nothing was visible there save the ricks, and the humpbacked barn cushioned with moss, and the granary rising against the church tower behind, where the smacking of the rope against the flagstaff still went on. Now Henshire had not the slightest suspicion that Elizabeth Jane's movement was to be so prompt. Hence when, just before 6, he reached home and saw a fly at the door from the King's Arms, and his stepdaughter, with all her little bags and boxes, getting into it, he was taken by surprise. "But you said I might go, Father," she explained through the carriage window. Said, "Yes. But I thought you meant next month, or next year. Odd, sees that you take time by the forelock. This, then, is how you be going to treat me for all my trouble about thee? Oh, Father, how can you speak like that? It is unjust of you," she said with spirit. "Well, well, have your own way," he replied. He entered the house, and, seeing that all her things had not yet been brought down, went up to her room to look on. He had never been there since he had occupied it. Evidences of her care, of her endeavors for improvement, were visible all around, in the form of books, sketches, maps, and little arrangements for tasteful effects. Henshire had known nothing of these efforts. He gazed at them, turned suddenly about, and came down to the door. "Look here," he said, in an altered voice he never called her by name now, "and ye go away from me. It may be I've spoke roughly to you, but I've been grieved beyond everything by you. There's something that caused it." "By me?" she said, with deep concern. "What have I done?" "I can't tell you now. But if you'll stop, and go on living as my daughter, I'll tell you all in time." But the proposal had come 10 minutes too late. She was in the fly, was already, in imagination, at the house of the lady whose manner had such charms for her. "Aether," she said, as considerately as she could, "I think it best for us that I go on now. I need not stay long. I shall not be far away, and if you want me badly, I can soon come back again." He nodded ever so slightly, as a receipt of her decision and no more. "You are not going far, you say. What will be your address, in case I wish to write to you? Or am I not to know?" "Oh yes, certainly. It is only in the town I plus hall." "Where?" said Henshard, his face stilling. She repeated the words. He neither moved nor spoke, and waving her hand to him in utmost friendliness, she signified to the flyman to drive up the street. 22. We go back for a moment to the preceding night, to account for Henshard's attitude. At the hour when Elizabeth Jane was contemplating her stealthy reconnoitering excursion to the abode of the lady of her fancy, he had been not a little amazed at receiving a letter by hand in Lucetta's well-known characters. The self-repression, the resignation of her previous communication, had vanished from her mood. She wrote with some of the natural lightness which had marked her in their early acquaintance. "High Place Hall, my dear Mr. Henshard, don't be surprised. It is for your good and mine, as I hope, that I have come to live at Casterbridge for how long I cannot tell. That depends upon another, and he is a man, and a merchant, and a mayor, and one who has the first right to my affections. Seriously, mon ami, I am not so light-hearted as I may seem to be from this. I have come here in consequence of hearing of the death of your wife, whom you used to think of as dead, so many years before. Poor woman, she seems to have been a sufferer, though uncomplaining, and though weak in intellect, not an imbecile. I am glad you acted fairly by her. As soon as I knew she was no more, it was brought home to me very forcibly by my conscience that I ought to endeavor to disperse the shade which my adversary flung over my name by asking you to carry out your promise to me. I hope you are of the same mind, and that you will take steps to this end. As, however, I did not know how you were situated, or what had happened since our separation, I decided to come and establish myself here, before communicating with you. You probably feel as I do about this. I shall be able to see you in a day or two. Till then, farewell. Yours, Lucetta. P.S.S. I was unable to keep my appointment to meet you for a moment or two in passing through Casterbridge the other day. My plans were altered by a family event, which it will surprise you to hear of. Henchard had already heard that High Plus Hall was being prepared for a tenant. He said with a puzzled air to the first person he encountered, who is coming to live at the hall. A lady of the name of Templeman, I believe, sir, said his informant. Henchard thought it over. Lucetta is related to her, I suppose, he said to himself. S, I must put her in her proper position, undoubtedly. It was by no means with the oppression that would once have accompanied the thought that he regarded the moral necessity now. It was, indeed, with interest, if not warmth. His bitter disappointment at finding Elizabeth Jane to be none of his, and himself a childless man, had left an emotional void in Henchard that he unconsciously craved to fill. In this frame of mind, though without strong feeling, he had strolled up the alley and into High Plus Hall by the postern at which Elizabeth had so nearly encountered him. He had gone on thence into the court, and inquired of a man whom he saw unpacking china from a crate, if Miss Le Sueur was living there. Miss Le Sueur had been the name under which he had known Lucetta or Lucette, as she had called herself at that time. The man replied in the negative, that Miss Templeman only had come. Henchard went away, concluding that Lucetta had not as yet settled in. He was in this interested stage of the inquiry when he witnessed Elizabeth Jane's departure the next day. On hearing her announce the address, there suddenly took possession of him the strange thought that Lucetta and Miss Templeman were one and the same person, for he could recall that in her season of intimacy with him the name of the rich relative whom he had deemed somewhat a mythical personage had been given as Templeman. Though he was not a fortune hunter, the possibility that Lucetta had been sublimed into a lady of means by some munificent testament on the part of this relative lent a charm to her image which it might not otherwise have acquired. He was getting on towards the dead level of middle age, when material things increasingly possess the mind. But Henchard was not left long in suspense. Lucetta was rather addicted to scribbling, as had been shown by the torrent of letters after the fiasco in their marriage arrangements, and hardly had Elizabeth gone away when another note came to the mayor's house from High Plus Hall. I am in residence, she said, uncomfortable, though getting here has been a wearisome undertaking. You probably know what I am going to tell you, or do you not? My good Aunt Templeman, the banker's widow, whose very existence you used to doubt, much more her affluence, has lately died, and bequeathed some of her property to me. I will not enter into details except to say that I have taken her name as a means of escape from mine and its wrongs. I am now my own mistress, and have chosen to reside in Casterbridge, to be tenant of High Plus Hall, that at least you may be put to no trouble if you wish to see me. My first intention was to keep you in ignorance of the changes in my life till you should meet me in the street, but I have thought better of this. You probably are aware of my arrangement with your daughter, and have doubtless laughed at the, what shall I call it, practical joke in all affection, of my getting her to live with me. But my first meeting with her was purely an accident. Do you see, Michael, partly why I have done it? Why, to give you an excuse for coming here, as if to visit her, and thus to form my acquaintance naturally. She is a dear, good girl, and she thinks you have treated her with undue severity. You may have done so in your haste, but not deliberately, I am sure. As the result has been to bring her to me, I am not disposed to upbraid you. In haste, yours always, Lucetta. The excitement which these announcements produced in Henshirt's gloomy soul was to him most pleasurable. He sat over his dining table long and dreamily, and by an almost mechanical transfer the sentiments which had run to waste since his estrangement from Elizabeth Jane and Donald Farfrae gathered around Lucetta, before they had grown dry. She was plainly in a very coming on disposition for marriage. But what else could a poor woman be who had given her time, and her heart to him so thoughtlessly, at that former time, as to lose her credit by it? Probably conscience no less than affection had brought her here. On the whole he did not blame her. The artful little woman, he said, smiling with reference to Lucetta's adroit and pleasant maneuver with Elizabeth Jane, to feel that he would like to see Lucetta was with Henshirt, to start for her house. He put on his hat and went. It was between 8 and 9 o'clock when he reached her door. The answer brought him was that Miss Templeman was engaged for that evening, but that she would be happy to see him the next day. That's rather like giving herself airs, he thought. And considering what we but after all, she plainly had not expected him, and he took the refusal quietly. Nevertheless he resolved not to go next day. He's cursed women, there's not an inch of straight grain in them, he said. Let us follow the train of Mr. Henshirt's thought, as if it were a clue line, and view the interior of High Plus Hall on this particular evening. On Elizabeth Jane's arrival, as he had been phlegmatically asked by an elderly woman to go upstairs and take off her things. She replied with great earnestness that she would not think of giving that trouble, and on the instant divested herself of her bonnet and cloak in the passage. She was then conducted to the first floor on the landing, and left to find her way further alone. The room disclosed was prettily furnished as a boudoir small drawing room, and on a sofa with two cylindrical pillows reclined a dark-haired, large-eyed, pretty woman, of unmistakably French extraction on one side or the other. She was probably some years older than Elizabeth, and had a sparkling light in her eye. In front of the sofa was a small table, with a pack of cards scattered upon it faces upward. The attitude had been so full of abandonment that she bounded up like a spring on hearing the door open. Perceiving that it was Elizabeth, she lapsed into ease, and came across to her with a reckless skip that innate grace only prevented from being boisterous. "Why, you are late," she said, taking hold of Elizabeth Jane's hands. There were so many little things to put up. And you seem dead alive and tired. Let me try to enliven you by some wonderful tricks I have learned to kill time. Sit there and don't move." She gathered up the pack of cards, pulled the table in front of her, and began to deal them rapidly, telling Elizabeth to choose some. "Well, have you chosen?" she asked, flinging down the last card. "No," stammered Elizabeth, arousing herself from a reverie. "I forgot, I was thinking of you, and me, and how strange it is that I am here." Miss Templeman looked at Elizabeth Jane with interest, and laid down the cards. "H. Never mind," she said. "L.L. lie here, while you sit by me, and we'll talk." Elizabeth drew up silently to the head of the sofa, but with obvious pleasure. It could be seen that though in years she Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.